We now know the charges stemming from a cringeworthy video of a man who punched three Fargo police officers and fled. We are starting to know the scale of ICE detainers in North Dakota, and yes, they are probably in a jail near you. And we now know what McDonald's customers think of the newest menu item. They ain't biting. Good afternoon, friends. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show. We're here every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. as I attempt to fill you in on what I have learned over the last couple hours or so after doing the A job for most of the day and then coming into the studio and getting ready for the program. I enjoy catching up on everything and telling you what I found out. So thank you for sharing a little bit of your time here with me today. A couple of ways that you can be in touch with us here on the program today is give us a call, 701-271-1100. This is your open invitation to give us a call. We'll try to get you in as quickly as we can. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. You can also email us, studio@flagfamily.com, studio@flagfamily.com. The text line is also open today, 701-237-1590. I'm coming to you from the Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North Studio. Your home is your greatest asset protected, and go to PCCND.com. Coming up on the program today, many an interesting thing to tell you about. There's some data coming out about home buying in the United States, and man, oh man, it looks like buying a home is something that a lot of people in our country are saying right now. I'm never going to be able to buy a house. Isn't that sad? I don't remember ever feeling like when I was growing up that it would be impossible for me to own a house. And you know me on this program, I rail against taxes all the time, but it's not just all property taxes. It's homeowners insurance. It is interest rates. It's just the value of homes as well. I don't know how we get ourselves out of this. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions. What do we do about the affordability issue for homes in our country? I keep thinking this has got to shake loose at some point, and maybe it will, but it's taking its own sweet time getting that done. So we'll talk about that today. Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski is also commenting on the story that I teased off the top today about the, I don't know what you'd call him. I think he's a homeless guy. I'm not sure. A gentleman that's got a lot of issues, addiction, mental health issues, are chronicled in the story that I read earlier today. Well, the chief is saying that he doesn't want to hear about it. If you've got criticism for these three officers who got punched and the guy got away. So we're going to talk about that today. And I am curious to find out how you are looking at this story. My bent always is to give law enforcement the benefit of the doubt. I would like to hear a few things from the police chief about this situation, though. It looks bad. It just does. If I was one of those, look, hey, we've all had our embarrassing moments, all right? So don't think that I haven't had them. You've had them too. We all have had a moment that we're like, okay, that wasn't my best. So we all do it. We've all had it. But I would like to hear something from the police chief about this situation that I don't hear him saying. So we'll maybe have to give a call to the chief and have him kind of talk about that. But we'll talk about that today here on the show. And I wonder if you have any thoughts on this, if it concerns you at all that this happened. Does it make you lose faith in police at all? Does it make you say, hey, you know, everybody's human. We all have bad days. Things happen fast in law enforcement. Just curious what your thoughts are about that. So we'll do that today. We'll talk about what did and did not get approved in the Minnesota legislature's special session. So we'll get that done today as well. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, going to have a guest join that happens to be a very good friend of mine. His name is Troy Cody. He is the principal at Davies High School in Fargo, but he won't be that for much longer. He's leaving the education profession and getting into business, and I'll let him say what he would like to about that. But I want to ask him a few questions. And I told him, hey, buddy, want to have you on talk about what do we need to know? What about our schools? What about our high schools? What about issues going on in our high schools? What do we need to know? What about these test scores that we hear about all the time? Is there some effort to ideologically indoctrinate our students within the school? So I'm going to have him talk about a few things like that as he is on his way out the door. So I think that'll be a good conversation here today. As you know, I'm a big fan of public education. in public schools. I was a public school kid. My wife was a public school kid. My kids were as well. I am concerned about some things that I see then and that I hear. But I also know sometimes I get carried away and I need more perspective than I often have. So we're going to try to do that a little bit for all of our sakes coming up here today on the program. All right, let's get to it with the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines going rapid fire to catch you up on a busy and eventful day. Oh, and yes, we will have another opportunity for you in the 5 o'clock hour. Be listening, and you could get qualified in the Great Grocery Giveaway. Somebody's going to win $833 worth of groceries a month for 1 year at the end of this contest. If you haven't yet, go to am1100theflag.com and get registered. That's the first step. So we'll talk about that as we go through the program here today as well. All right, let's get going here with the almanac as we get the program started here on this very nice Tuesday afternoon. It looks like we got our summer back. Stella got her groove back when it comes to the summer. So it is June 10th, 2025, and yes, I will remind us all here, it is June 10th, and the Minnesota State Girls Softball Championship was still won by a guy. So what we have for the almanac today, well, our average high temperature for this day is 77 degrees. Our average low is 54, record high 97 back in 1956, record low 36 in 1908. Sunrise this morning was at 5:32, and the sunset will be at 9:21. We'll keep going here until about 9:25 will be the latest sunset that we have, and we're only about a week and a half away from that longest daylight day of the year. In the markets today was a positive day on Wall Street. Not massive gains, but solid gains. The Dow was up 105, S&P 500 up 32, NASDAQ up 123. WTI crude oil down 50 cents at $64.74. Gold down $10 an ounce. Silver down 14 cents an ounce. Bitcoin today up about $1,200 at $109,874. So Bitcoin, if you've been following that trend, remember we were down at about 87, 88,000 a couple of months ago. And then we had a big run up. Well, that was probably actually toward the beginning here. Big run up. And then kind of the big sell-off when we had all the tariff uncertainty. And now it's almost made its way all the way back, just like all those growth stocks that sold off. Well, they're almost all the way back. All right, AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas down a penny from yesterday at $3.12 a gallon. North Dakota average price $2.90, South Dakota $2.94, Minnesota $2.93. Diesel today at $3.50, and that's unchanged from yesterday. In the news today, Valley News Live reports that we know more about the assault of three Fargo police officers in downtown Fargo. It came at the hands of a man named Joseph Manitowabi, no stranger to police, a lengthy criminal history and drug history. I guess those are kind of the same thing, but many different infractions of behaving badly there. He now faces charges of assault of a peace officer. That's three charges there: possession of drug paraphernalia, preventing arrest, and refusal to halt. Officers said that they were looking for another man who was with him who had an active warrant, and officers found drugs and paraphernalia on the other man. And during that arrest, Manitowabi got away from the officers, and then they got in touch with him again. And when they tried to put him in handcuffs, then he began to physically resist when they were trying to do a legal arrest of him. And you've probably seen the video by now. He punched the three officers, got away for a short time, and then was able, the officers were able to apprehend him a short time later. But that video has gone viral, and everybody's talking about it in town. A WDAY radio reports that there has also been an incident that happened with kicking a door in South Fargo. Police say that they're aware of it. They're not commenting as though this is a massive trend in our community there, but they have requested extra patrols to discourage further disturbances. This doesn't seem to be criminal activity, more a case of kids trying to do pranks, but they're kicking doors in the Woodhaven neighborhood in South Fargo, which is not typically an area where you find a whole lot of trouble going on. So maybe kids' graduation week, pranks, things like that. But Officers say they're aware of it, going to beef up patrols in that area. WDAY, Forum reports today that a group of Fargo residents is calling on city leaders to redo elections. As you know, approval voting or ranked choice voting was outlawed by the state legislature in the most recent session. But this group of residents approached the Fargo City Commission in a meeting last night and asked the city to start holding primary elections for offices like mayor and city commissioners. So if you needed one mayor and two city commissioners, they're hoping that you have a primary election in June and then a final election in November. I don't know why certain people are as obsessed about this as they are. They say, well, we can't have somebody being elected that only got like 23% of the vote. Well, if that got more than the other people, that's how we've done elections here for 100 years. But people are really bothered by this, and I can't exactly tell you why. It's a multifaceted group, Republicans, Democrats, citizens, elected leaders. There's all kinds of people that really have an issue with this. So there you go. I'm just telling you what you need to know. WDAY Radio reports that more than two dozen people detained by ICE are being held in the Burley Morton Detention Center in Bismarck. Recent reviews, the story goes on to say, of inmate rosters have also shown ICE detainees at jails in Ward, Cass, and Grand Forks counties. So that's kind of everywhere. That's Minot, Grand Forks, Fargo, and Bismarck. And these more than two dozen people have all been checked in over the past week. What does it mean to you? I don't know if it means means anything to you, but I think that what we're seeing is we have more and more detainees and people being arrested and held for federal authorities in our communities. I think this is interesting. Jesse Johnner, by the way, is going to be on the show tomorrow. I'll ask him what's happening here in town. CNBC reports that a California committee, state government committee, has asked a judge to block the Trump troop deployment in Los Angeles. Gavin Newsom basically spearheaded this, asking a federal judge to block the Trump administration from putting National Guard and Marines in L.A. Newsom is arguing that the federal actions promote civil unrest. How about that? Just by having law enforcement people in the streets or people in camouflage, you're going to trigger our folks to promote civil unrest. What in the world? I've got so much to say about that, not enough time. Meanwhile, the officials for the U.S. Marines say that their troops, when they go in, will be armed with their normal service weapons, but will not be carrying tear gas. They will have protective equipment like helmets, shields, and gas masks. Warning shots would be prohibited, but if they are acted upon, they can de-escalate a situation by acting in self-defense. So, oh boy, I just want to see some of these punks taking on a few Marines. I would really enjoy that. So that's in the news today here as well. And I also can tell you a note from the food world. So McDonald's, I don't know why I like McDonald's stories. I think it's kind of that great American brand. I think it tells us about a subset of our country as well. And McDonald's recently added an item to the menu called McCrispy Strips. Addison, have you had the McCrispy Strips yet at McDonald's?
I have not, no. Do they live up to their name?
Apparently they do not. Yes, they were launched May 5th, but the company says that sales have been very disappointing. They are made with 100% white meat, crispy golden brown breading, and a new black pepper flavor. However, a group of investment firm analysts who are paid, I guess, to taste the new food at McDonald's says that they're leaving much to be desired and that nobody's buying them. So people say, we just like our chicken McNuggets, and you can keep these McCrispy strips, and nobody likes them. And one sports note here for you. Former NDSU football player Spencer Wagey has retired from pro football. 6'5", 295, he was a beast playing for the Bison. Got done playing for SU in 2022, I believe it was, and has been with the 49ers and the Packers organizations since then. And he says, I love the game, but the game doesn't love me back maybe quite enough. And so he's going to declare his retirement. And so there you go. Congrats, Spencer Wagey. A heck of a career. Certainly here at North Dakota State University. And those, friends, are some of the stories that are making headlines here today. And we call it the 4 o'clock wrap as we try to go rapid fire to catch you up on a lot of things that have happened here today. When we return on the program, buying a home is starting to seem like a pipe dream to a lot of Americans. Why does it have to be this way? Let's dig into that when we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show. Phone lines are open at 701-271-1100. Crystal is on the line, and she wants to chime in on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hi, Crystal. What's on your mind today?
Well, a lot of us trust in your show as well as anything doing with the flag. So you're a source where we can come for information and discussion. And I had not heard about this voting turmoil. I didn't know that we had a problem with how we were electing mayors and city commissioners. And so when you opened up the show talking about how somebody wants to have these primaries and not have our election for a mayor in June or how it's set up and push this back to November, that just seems a little, I may use the word, asinine, in my opinion. These are people looking for a solution to a problem that's not there. And I just don't understand their rationale.
Yeah,
did anybody explain anything to you about what's their problem?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I recognize some of the people that are involved here that are talking about this. And I would just say that we've had elections for years and years where somebody won the vote, but they didn't get 50%. This now seems to be an unspeakable sin that is being committed in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, right.
That, oh my gosh, how could we? Well, you know what? That's what most of the people wanted. Maybe it's only 38% or 22% or whatever it is. But if they are the best choice, according to the city, out of the pool of people, if you got 10 people in the pool, maybe the winner only gets 12%, but they're still considered the best choice among everybody else. So.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I kind of shrug my shoulders, too. I feel like this whole approval voting thing has got to be rooted in some sort of liberal ideology. I don't know what it is. I guess I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But to me, it seems like it's the confusing or the dumbing down of America, where we've got to be able to elect everybody we could possibly stand instead of making a hard choice. I just don't see anything wrong with what we've done before, and I don't think any disservices have been done.
Right. So a final decision has not yet been made, then, is what you're saying.
No, this is just this was kind of, the public. You can go to the city commission meeting and say, hey, I want to talk about, or I want to bring you up to speed on something that I care about. Here's my concern. And then they listen. They don't have to say anything. And usually they don't. And they just listen to these people. They seem to have people from a number of different kind of groups within the city. So I feel like this is something that is going to sort of catch steam, because Fargo liked having its approval voting before the legislature said they couldn't have it. This, to me, is like a junior varsity version of approval voting.
Yeah, because the last time I had heard anything about voting was about changing the wards to a ward system, and then people were petitioning.
Yes.
So, I mean, I just didn't think overnight that somebody could switch how we elect our candidates. And, this primary system,
yeah.
But as you say, if you've got 5 people or if you got 10 people, whoever got the most votes has got the support of, the highest amount of people voting.
Yeah.
Like you're saying.
Yeah. So we'll see where it goes. Nothing is being decided here. Nothing is happening, really. It's just people bringing up a concern that they have, and we'll see where it goes from here. So thanks for giving a call today, Crystal.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Take care. Yeah, the ward thing is another thing that's going on, and that one I at least kind of see where someone could say, hey, there's a better way to do this. Let's have somebody representing, 4 different quadrants of the city, and you kind of get the neighborhoods, because neighborhoods do have an identity. They do. And so I do understand that more than I sit here and say, boy, we need to have a primary election and then another general election. We need to go from 2 to 1 and then 4 to 2. I don't know. Crystal said, it seems like a solution in search of a problem. 431 here, Steve Hallstrom Show. We'll talk about housing data coming up here in a little bit. First, though, we've got to get to the newsroom. We've got a check of news. Weather coming up as well. Lots of good things coming your way. Don't go away. Steve Hallstrom Show continues after this. Thank you very much, Austin. Now let's head on down to the SkyWatch Weather Center meteorologist Dean Wysocki filling us in on the weather. This day feels a little more like summer, Dino.
Steve, a much warmer afternoon out there, and winds have shifted to the northwest. That means we're going to pull in a little more upper-level smoke from Canada here as we head into the evening hours. Temperatures will fall off into the 70s during the evening and then eventually bottom out in the low 50s overnight under clear skies and light winds. A little bit cooler for tomorrow as we'll see light winds out of the north. We'll have highs in the mid-70s. And then clouds return Thursday and Friday. We're going to see a pretty strong storm system pass to our south, giving moderate to heavy rain in parts of South Dakota and southern Minnesota. We're right on the northern end of that, so I don't think we're going to see a whole lot out of it. We'll keep a close eye on that in case that system decides to shift a little further north. But cooler weather Thursday and Friday with highs only right around 70 both days. And then we'll warm it up as we head into Father's Day weekend, looking pretty nice with highs in the 70s on Saturday and low 80s on Father's Day. Now, there is a chance for storms late in the day on Father's Day. And then we get into a more active weather pattern as we head into next week and more summer-like weather as well. We're getting into the active part of the LRC cycle towards mid-month. Now, the previous couple of cycles, this produced severe weather to our south. We'll see how this pans out here from mid-month till the end of the month, but that's the active part of the LRC cycle and also more summer warmth.
All right, thank you very much, Dean. When we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, we know that being in law enforcement is a dangerous job, not just in Los Angeles. Here in Fargo, Police Chief Dave Zabolski talking about a couple of recent incidents and the text line weighing in on one of them as well. Texter says, not a good look. We'll talk about it when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hey, we're having a party here on Friday. Hope you'll be able to make it out on Friday 13th. I know, but it's going to be really nice here. There will be no spooky, scary things here. From 11 to 1 at our studios here on Thunder Road, we're celebrating Flag Day. We're going to raise the flag, singing the national anthem at 11 a.m. with a color guard salute. Free lunch for all veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. We'll have food trucks, ice cream, giveaways every 15 minutes, free caps, portable phone chargers while supplies last. All are welcome, including kids. Thanks to our sponsors, PetroServe USA, Moorhead American Legion Post 21, U.S. Flagpole Guy, Capstone Classical Academy, Breadsmith, Luther Family Ford, Welton's, Two Vets Moving, Fevig Oil and Propane, and thanks to Town and Country Oil and Propane for being lunch sponsors as well. Sponsoring the event, North Dakota State Services, Center of the American Experiment, the Chamber of Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo, Precision Concrete, Ramjack North, Coles Resort, Jensen Brothers, and Randall's Excavating, OMDI also. So thanks to all those great sponsors, making it cheap and easy. Well, better than cheap, free for veterans, law enforcement, and first responders to come in and get a free lunch. Text line today, comment came in after we were talking about this at the beginning of the show regarding the downtown incident where a man who was believed to be under the influence of substances and who police wanted to arrest punched three Fargo cops and ran away. Now, they got him a few minutes later. It's not as though he was going to go anywhere. They found him fairly quickly. But he was able to punch the three who were on their heels a little bit, if you've seen the video, and before they were able to chase him. Text message, Steve, it's not a good look. The three cops got their butt handed to him single-handedly by an unarmed homeless man. I love law enforcement, but I saw no training come into play there. Also, just look at what's going on in Fargo. I know you guys love the growth, but I'm seeing zero positives from it. Sure, kids might find jobs here now, but they may choose to move and raise their families somewhere safer. Boy, there's a lot there in one text message. Dave Zabolski, the police chief, is speaking out on this because I think he understands what the texter did. It's not a good look. It isn't. No matter how you want to try to assess the situation. But Zabolski, talking to the folks over at Valley News Live, said we've had two violent attacks on officers in the last week. He said last week a female officer was attacked by a minor. She was kicked in the head while trying to detain the suspect. And Chief says that officer is out with some significant injuries. She'll probably be out for a while. I did not know that. We had not heard about that incident in the initial reporting. And then just 4 days later, this assault that we're talking about with a guy, Manitowabi, who punched three officers in the head, made a break for it, got arrested a short time later and arrested on several charges now. The video that's going around has gotten tens of thousands of views. The chief says he has not yet seen the video, which is interesting, but I'm not going to call him a liar. He says he hasn't seen the video, so he hasn't seen the video. I would want to see it if I were him, but I guess he'll get to it at some point. He said, I'm sure for the officers involved, it's embarrassing the videos being pushed out all over the place. Community members are voicing concerns, just like our texter here. And some have asked questions about training and things like that. And I guess this is kind of where I land on it. You can have whatever opinion you want on this, but I think you have to ask questions about what happened here exactly. What is the training? What should have happened? And if the chief wants to say, I don't want to talk about it, I guess he has that prerogative. But when you're talking about questions involving how our law enforcement officers, our police officers, trained in anything and everything. I say it all the time. I give the benefit of the doubt to these men and women because they've gone through training way more than what most of us realize. They're always training on different things. They have instincts based on all the training that takes over at certain times. But it is true the guy punched three officers in the head and ran away, and they were trying to detain him at that time. And I would like to hear the chief talk a little bit about what the training is. What are they? What should they have done? Did they do what they were supposed to do? Because that would be nice to know too. And if they didn't, why? It happened quickly. We get it. They may not have expected to be punched in the head. I would get that because law enforcement officers, you're coming up on people in situations that seem very tame. But they are also trained. I know this to be prepared for whatever and whenever. So when one guy gets punched, you just wonder, okay, what is the training if you're in a group of three? It just seemed like they were caught off guard in this case. Zabolski, though, does not want to hear the criticism on this one. He says, he told Valley News Live, quote, honestly, if they're not saying, I can't believe this guy attacked the police, why is he not in prison? I'm not really interested. I think people should hold off Monday morning quarterbacking this thing. We'll review the video in full ourselves. Give the benefit of the doubt to the officers and go from there. The chief, end quote, the chief explains training within the Fargo PD is extensive and doesn't stop after graduation. He says resiliency training is given for those bouncing back from attacks like these. So what question do you have about this situation? My question is, what is the training that surrounds a situation like that? Because at face value, it's hard to see where the training kicked in here in this one. I don't know the video about the woman, what that looks like. Not seeing that one. I don't need to see a young female police. Well, I guess I know she's young. I don't need to see a female officer or female of any kind getting kicked in the head. But in this case, I'm curious because I think a lot of us are going to look at that and say, what would the training ask these three people to do? Because it doesn't seem apparent what their training was at that time. And these are folks in the community that we trust to keep the peace, be able to keep situations under wraps. If this guy, what's his name now? Manitowabi. I almost said Massacoy. I'm not sure where I got that from. Manitowabi, what if he punches the three officers and then runs and takes a hostage? Or then goes and injures somebody else because he's not right in the head? I mean, all of these things you think about because we trust that the officers are there to stand in that gap for us, quell situations, arrest people without scenes and that kind of a thing. So that's what I want to hear. The chief talks about, you know, we're going to ask these questions. We're going to do the review or whatever. I think it's interesting. He hasn't seen the video yet. I would want to see it right away, but maybe at some point we'll get better, more thorough answers on this situation here. So I don't know what questions you have on this one, but that's my question is, did the officers follow training? And if not, why not? because it didn't look like a situation where training kicked in. From the text line today, Steve, if he has not seen the video, what are you saying here? If he has not seen the video, okay, I see. If he has not seen the video, how can he dismiss criticism of the video? Okay, fair question. I think he's always going to stand up for his people, right? I mean, you would do the same thing if it was him. And he's right when he says, the first thing we should say is, I can't believe this guy attacked the police. Why is he not in jail? Well, I hope he is in jail at this point after attacking three officers. And I know Zabolski has said before that sentencing and judges and that kind of thing is not always as tight as it needs to be to protect officers. So we can have that conversation too. So he's right when he says all of that. I think he's just going to say, you know, until the whole review is done, I don't want to hear people saying anything other than let's support law enforcement. And I get that, and that's kind of what he's probably got to say in that situation. But I would like to hear a comment like, quote, what we believe happened could have been handled better. We're going to work through the situation, make sure that people in Fargo know that when our officers are on the job and a situation happens, that they'll be putting the situation under control as quickly as possible. So that I'd like to see some form of that. I get it. He's a little miffed at the criticism, but it sort of comes with the territory. It really does. So thank you for that text message. Another text here. The Democrats must be in heaven because that's what they think all the police officers should do, just get beat up and take all the crap they can get from these freaking idiots. Well, there you wonder, don't you? It really bleeds over into the L.A. story that's going on. And by the way, I've got news feeds on right now, and it's here we go again. It's another day, and we're not even to a nightfall yet, and already there are skirmishes in the street. So, yeah, we could do our own show. We did a lot of that yesterday on the program about, what are the law enforcement officers doing there. Gavin Newsom continues to say that the presence of law enforcement is triggering my people in the state of California. The mayor, Karen Bass, saying the same thing. Like, just having them there is creating crime. It is triggering crime. And I just have to wonder... maybe it's just how I was born, my value system or whatever, but I was taught that when law enforcement shows up, it's a good thing, and that settles situations down. So if you don't look at it that way, I guess you have to ask yourself sort of what your situation is and maybe what your perspective is on that one. Law enforcement needs to be men and women who are just machines, that you mess with them and they take you down, not to hurt you, but to make sure the situation doesn't spill over into something else. And we need more of that in L.A. We need more of that in the streets of downtown Fargo, at least in the case of this particular incident there. What else needs to be said about this? I want to let you comment on this at 701-271-1100. So let me know your thoughts on that one today. But I will say, too, what the first texter said on this one, and that is that I will always give benefit of the doubt to law enforcement and say there has got to be a reason for what we're seeing and what we're doing. If there's not, they can say we missed something and then we'll deal with that later. But on this one, I agree. We didn't see law enforcement training come into play. So I'm just waiting to find out more before we jump to a lot of conclusions here. All right, 450 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. So what did and did not get approved in the Minnesota legislature's special session? I'll walk you down the bullet point list of that right after this. Well, the Minnesota legislature has finished its work, gotten it all done. They adjourned for a couple of weeks, got the leaders in a room and said, okay, how do we get this done? And then when they thought they had a deal, they brought everybody back together. And they did pass a $66 billion budget, which is, I believe the number was 20% higher than last year's budget, which we've asked some tough questions about, but that's how it worked out. They had to get it done by July 1 in order to avoid a partial government shutdown. And so what is in the legislation that went through? So Star Tribune has done a nice job of breaking this down. So what passed? Well, the bonding bill went through. This is your roads, bridges, drinking water, other infrastructure things. About $700 million was approved there. Also approved or passed undocumented health care repeal. So this was lawmakers voting to remove the adult undocumented immigrants from Minnesota care. They did leave the children in there. But when they left St. Paul, they were taking out they had everybody in there. And then in order to get the deal done, Democrats had to agree to remove the adult illegals from Minnesota care. This was the one where there was most of the fighting over that. Electric vehicle fees. Lawmakers agreed to increase the EV registration surcharge from $75 to $150. So if you're buying an electric vehicle, you got that in there as well. New regulations were also passed for an influx of large-scale data centers. They're going to have to pay for energy conservation work and abide by policy to protect the state's water and, quote, climate goals. This is interesting now because they already pulled out of the plant in Becker, the company that wanted to put that one together, because of all the state water policies and climate goals. Now, North Dakota is going to try to get a couple of these things stood up, and they're not going to have the climate goals and the water policies there. So a good time to be North Dakota if they can get their act together on this one. Unemployment benefits for minors, not like young people. We're talking about the people that work in the taconite mines there. So they're extending some unemployment insurance from the workers laid off on the range mines. Cannabis tax increases. So if you like to enjoy the product over to the Minnesota side, your tax on cannabis. Here you thought you were going to get all this cheap weed and it was going to be a lot of fun. No harm, no foul. Well, guess what? It's going to cost you a little bit more. And so that got through as well. Changes for hospitals. Hospitals got a couple wins when the legislature agreed to charge facility fees to patients at outpatient clinics. That also allows Minnesota to pursue a directed payments program that could maximize federal Medicaid payments. Gets a little confusing on that one, but that got in there as well. What did not pass? Well, metro area sales tax changes. After outcry from local county leaders, lawmakers pulled a last-minute addition to the transportation bill that would have taken half the proceeds of a metro sales tax approved in 2023 to help counties pay for road and transit projects. And the big one, which people are still not talking about enough, the earned sick and safe time rollbacks. Now, this is not the paid leave bill that's going to affect all Minnesota employers. This is the sick and safe time rollbacks. And there was an attempt by some of the kind of centrist Democrats in the session during the sausage making, the regular session. They tried to exempt small businesses and farms from a state law requiring that they provide sick leave to their workers. But that got rolled back. And so now if you own a big farm in Minnesota, you got to provide this benefit. If you own a small business in Minnesota, you got to provide this benefit as well. So it's not the biggie. The paid leave bill is the biggie, but this is kind of the junior varsity version of that. So the sick and safe time rollbacks did not pass. So those will affect all of the small businesses in Minnesota. Hey, if you have a event venue or a building manager where there's a lot of foot traffic, CardCare Systems is your best choice for an ATM partner. You just provide the location and CardCare Systems handles the rest. You get a share of the ATM fees with lower credit card processing fees. They sell and service ATMs for area businesses as well. Nobody provides better ATM customer service than CardCare Systems. Contact them to see if you qualify for their free 90-day placement program. Start improving your bottom line today. Go to getmyatm.com, getmyatm.com. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to qualify for the great grocery giveaway. This is going to be fun, and you could get your name in the hopper in the 5 o'clock hour. Don't go away. Oh, that must mean something. Yes, indeed. It is time to get another qualifier for the great grocery giveaway. We are giving away $10,000 worth of groceries. And we've had a ton of people registering online. We love that. And it is time for us to draw a name out of the hat. And today's lucky person is Kim Block of Dilworth. Kim, you have 11 minutes. To give a call, 701-271-1100, 271-1100, and you can qualify for the Great Grocery Giveaway. Thank you to our sponsors, Rusco Window, Grease Monkey, Kingpins, Bark and Biscuits, Allsager Meats. So, Kim, you've got 11 minutes. If you have not yet registered, do it. Go to the website, get there, and you might hear your name called on one of the programs here on the flag. And then you can get in the hopper for this big prize there. We're going to get together on Thursday, July 10th at Kingpins for the big giveaway party. Should be a good one. And don't forget that tomorrow, Rusco Window, we're going to have a live qualifying stop where you can put your name in the box there. And we're going to draw two qualifiers that go to the giveaway party as well. So another way for you to qualify to win. All right, it's time for the top five at five. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. Story number one, we've talked a little bit about this one here today. We know more about the man who punched three Fargo police officers and escaped for a short time. 37-year-old Joseph Manitowabi, no stranger to police, reports Valley News Live. He has a lengthy criminal history, no permanent address, and he was arrested for three counts of simple assault of a peace officer, possession of drug paraphernalia, preventing arrest, and refusal to halt. This is the assault that has now gone viral on social media. Happened on Saturday just after 4 o'clock in downtown Fargo. So that's story number one. Story number two, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York has put out a new report showing that serious credit card delinquencies in our country rose to 12.31% in the first quarter of this year. This is the highest level in 14 years. So there are some people that are doing really well these days, and there are some people who are having a really tough time. And this means that basically 12%, so what is that? Almost 1 in 7, 1 in 8, I guess, about 1 in 8 people have credit card debt where they haven't made a payment in 3 months. So this is not a good situation here, and it shows how many people are really in a tough situation. You go back to even 2023, and the number was only about 7%. And so we basically almost doubled that here in just the last couple of years or so. Credit card delinquencies, this is not a good trend, no doubt about that. Another money note comes to us today from Fox Business. Retail investors now have $2.1 trillion parked in money market funds. That's an all-time high. Why is that important? Because if the stock market starts on a tear, you're going to see a lot of money that will get off the sidelines and jump in. And so watch some of those upward movements. If they happen on sharp volume, you might see a lot more of that, according to the Fox Business people. They got this note here from a study that was put out by Bloomberg News, so giving credit there. So that's story number three. Story number four, more than 24 people are now being detained by ICE in the Burley Morton Detention Center in Bismarck. They've all checked in over the in the last week or so. WDAY Radio reports that recent reviews of inmate rosters have shown ICE detainees at jails in Ward, Cass, and Grand Forks counties. So there is a growing number of people who are part of ICE detainers going on across our state. And how about that note? More than 24 all came in just in the last week. So that number is going up. And finally, U.S. home listing prices hit an all-time high last week. The value of homes in the U.S. rose 20.3% from a year ago, reaching a record $698 billion. So property values are high. But Reuters reports that home buying conditions have collapsed. People don't feel like buying homes. The last time that home buying conditions were this low was 1981. People are spooked about this whole thing. The housing market has reached its most unaffordable level in history, the report goes on to say. And there are a number of factors for this, including a severe lack of available homes, rising construction costs, high mortgage rates, lock-in effect, homeowners with low-rate mortgages who got them in 2021, 2022, they don't want to sell. And that's reducing inventory and pushing prices higher. And then you've got the whole issue of stagnant wages versus home prices. Home prices have risen 53% in the last 5 years, and wage growth, real wage growth, when you take inflation into account, nowhere near that. So I'm not exactly sure how we work our way out of this. All right, so we've got, oh, Addison says we've got our winner. Kim is on the line, and Kim Block from Dilworth is now in the drawing. Kim, good afternoon. Thanks for listening to the show. Congratulations.
Hello, thank you.
So tell me about what would you do with $830 of groceries every month? Have you got a big old family at home, or would you give some away? What would you do with it?
I have three teenagers at home, so I would okay. feed them.
Yeah, we know what you would do with it. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Kim, how great would that be to walk into the grocery store? You got $830 for the month. How great would that be?
That would be fantastic.
Oh,
yes,
my word.
Be.
So tell me about your teenagers. Are they into any activities? Are they out running around all the time? What are they
yeah,
into?
They're all into activities. My daughter plays softball, and my boys do basketball and football and strength training. So,
oh,
yeah,
boy.
They eat up the grocery bill, for sure.
I bet. All right. Well, Kim, congratulations. Thank you for listening to the program here, and glad that you were listening to get you qualified. So you are now... you have sealed your invitation to Thursday, July 10th at Kingpin's. One qualifier will win groceries for a year. It might be you, Kim. Let's cross our fingers. Thanks a lot for listening to the show, and appreciate you being part of our
Thank
program
you.
Here today, and we'll see you on the 10th.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye. All right, Kim, she's in. Let's go. And Kim, she's got three teenagers that are all playing sports, so they probably go through more than $830 of groceries in a month. Good stuff. All right, 5:14, short break for us. When we come back, have an opportunity to visit with a great friend of mine here today who is changing occupations. He is leaving a public education, getting into the private sector, and I wanted to have him come in and talk a little bit about what do we need to know about what's happening in our schools, and what are some of the things that we should be thinking about going forward on how to make them better. Visit with Davies Principal Troy Cody when we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show. Don't go away. One of the things I love about the job that I have is I get to talk to a lot of people who make the world go around, not just people who sit and talk like me, but people who are out doing it in our community, making our people better, making our kids better, and I'm pleased to be joined by one of those people. This is going to be kind of weird, buddy. Usually we're sitting around, we got a beverage or something and talking about the world's problems, but I guess we got to watch our language a little bit, and we got to keep it on track here. So
I got a beverage right here.
Yeah, you do.
I got a water.
Not a good one.
I got a water.
I'll get you a better one later. Troy Cody is here, current principal at Davies High School, and going to be leaving public education, getting into the private sector, coming up here in a couple of weeks at the end of the month. TC, thanks for stopping in, man. First of all, for people that, so we know kind of where you're coming from, give us like 30 seconds your background, how you got into public education, how you came to Davies.
Ooh, I'm a Northeast Montana boy. Anybody knows Wolf Point? It's just straight west of Williston up in the top right corner. I always say damn near in Canada, damn near in North Dakota. So yep. I'm up in that, born and raised into a family of 11 kids, and so I'm number 9 out of that. My dad was a sheriff. Mom was a stay-at-home. Lost my dad when I was 7 to a massive heart attack. Mom had to go back to work. She would have loved that grocery, the getaway grocery, so that would have been good. Raised by basically the community, a small Indian reservation, Wolf Point, anybody that knows that. Earned myself a football scholarship to the University of Mary, so I was on the original 1987, fall of 87, football team, the Marauders. Shout out to all the original Marauders out there. And earned a football scholarship, got into mathematics teaching and education. My life was changed by educators. I think anybody that's in education can point to either one or two, three people that certainly made an impact. Mine was Terry Thomas, business teacher, football coach. And so that led me into education. I took found my wife, Michelle. First day, she's a year behind me, but carried her bags. Fun story there. Carried her bags into the dorm her first year.
What a smooth operator.
Yeah, you know, kind of that way. Mm-hmm. I haven't changed it a bit. We went out to northern Idaho for a couple of years. Just wanted to get away to southern Minnesota for a number of years. Moved down to southern Minnesota, was a math teacher and a football coach, and drove the bus and taped ankles in a small community, and then moved to a little bit bigger of community in Fairmont, Minnesota, just south of Mankato. Was there till 2007. And then in 2007, kind of a fun little story to get to Fargo. My sister Tina lived in Fargo. She was married to Kevin, who was really good friends with Andy Dolan. North High principal, and my brother-in-law Kevin were really friends. My brother-in-law Kevin passed away of cancer in colorectal cancer in 90 days, and so I was at Kevin's one-year memorial. I got to connect in with Andy and got to meet him a little bit, and he said, that was just, I don't know if you remember the name, Gary Mayhew. So Gary Mayhew.
Legend.
Resigned. And so just God had it ordained that I interviewed for the job up at North in July of 2007. Spent 5 years up at North High. I still live up in the North Fargo area. I'm a proud Northsider. And certainly 5 years in that role. And that's where I got to know you a little bit close when you were in the sports world, if you remember. And I was the activities director, assistant principal. And then in 2012, when Jeff Schatz became our superintendent following Rick Bresch, I interviewed for the job down at Davies. And so this year will conclude my 13th year as the head principal at Davies High School.
From the beginning, right? I mean,
Jeff was there, opened up the building in 11-12. This is the 14th graduating class. Last Sunday was our 14th graduating class. I've been there for 13 of them.
Almost all of them.
So Jeff was there for the first one. And you talk to a number of teachers, they chuckle a little bit because he was announced superintendent around Christmas or just after the time. So it kind of switched over. So I was hired in April of 12 to lead the charge down at Davies.
What have you loved most about that time you spent leading that school down there?
Creating culture. I listen to your show all the time, Steve, and I know you talk a lot about, and you had Dr. Steiner in here and talking about test scores and things of that nature. And don't get me wrong, those things are super critical, but education is about the people. And setting a culture in a school, and relatively from the first foundation, right? And again, Jeff was there for the first year, but I really have put my footprint and pulse on that school and just tried to lead people well with just a heart of gratitude and treating people the right way, investing into people, having tough conversations, keeping that standard extremely high. But when I look back at that, and I think if you just talk to a number of people that I've been able to hire nearly 85% of the people in that building and got to see lots of kids born, and I feel like a grandparent to a number of them. I've got a number of, those teachers there would be considered, good friends of mine. But certainly it's kind of bittersweet. There's no doubt about that.
Have kids, people say, oh, kids are so different than they used to be. And I don't know. I think I look back to kids and they're different than I am now because I'm 57. But I was like, when I look at teenagers now, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of who I was. Have kids changed a lot in the time since you got into public education?
No, I'm going to tell you flat out no. One of the things, Steve, that really surprises me is that everybody's got an opinion about public education because they've all experienced it, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's opinion is framed from their experience.
Yeah.
And so anybody that says to you, oh, kids have changed and yada, 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 I would say, well, first of all, I'm a factual guy, right? And people that know me well, I'm a black and white guy. I want to know facts. And I would say, based on what? You think kids have changed based on what? When's the last time you put boots on the ground? When's the last time you've been in a school? When is the last time that you've talked to people inside of public education? So, and I would venture to say a large portion of those people have no clue. And so they're basing some of the things, like I've seen, a number of kids in our community and things. So it's things outside, I would say, of the school setting. Because as you indicated, I've done some things probably in my teenage years and into my high school years that, I would say I see some of the same things. So have kids changed? Absolutely not. The dynamics of the home probably have changed. You and I probably sat around a dinner table a little bit more. We got kids spread so super thin, involved in so many different activities. So in that sense, I think things have changed since probably, when we were going to school in the 80s. But I would tell you this, that anybody out there that says, that kids are different now today, I would tell you that you're sadly mistaken.
Have kids had to deal with more crap than you and I did growing up? It seems like there's more dysfunction in our world. Families, I mean, the statistics on the family and marriage, divorces and all that stuff. It feels to me, TC, like kids have had to deal with more than you and I did. And in that respect, maybe they're a little more jaded, a little more cynical. Maybe they're a little edgier maybe than we were. I feel like we were fairly innocent back in the day.
Well, yes. Okay. Have they do your question was, do they have to deal with the absolutely. Steve, I would tell you that 90% of the kids at Davies were, you know, the population there around 1300 students. 90% of them have a cell phone. All right. And so that's where our communication comes from. It's different from when you and I, right? I think in the 80s, I couldn't even tell you the first time I had a cell phone was maybe, oh, good grief, 94, 95, something like that. I was even in college. So instant gratification is really in that regard. Are they dealing with things differently? Absolutely. The job as a high school principal and administrator has grown complex because of that family dynamic that I talked about. That's significantly different. And then the instant gratification that students get, the ability to communicate, they communicate behind a phone or behind a computer screen more so than sitting down and having conversation. And then I think another component is just dealing with conflict. And so people nowadays, what makes it a little bit different is dealing with conflict and conflict resolution skills and some of those soft skills far beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic. And so some of those things. So that's what the job as an administrator has really become complex in that regard. So, you know, just to circle back, yeah, kids are dealing with a lot of different things because they're bringing things, you know, they're getting things thrown at them a lot differently.
But the nature of kids, still who they are at their core, we think is still fairly similar to maybe when you and I were teenagers.
100%. Kids still like to have fun, right? And, and fun is defined a little bit differently. You know, kids are still going to laugh. They're still going to cry. They're still going to, you know, sing in the choir. They're still going to play the horn in the band. And so all of those things absolutely are exactly the same. They're still learning about Shakespeare and split infinitives and, you know, third derivatives and adding X to both sides. And so all of those things are still there. But our world is changing, Steve. And so when our external of those four walls inside of a school changes, and then earlier this year you were talking about just the number of things in public education that have been added to the slate, right? We now have to worry about so many other things. And outside of this world, it says, how are we going to fix this? Well, we're going to give it to the school system, and then they're going to figure out how to deal with it. So if we could get back to some of those basics, I tell you, but it's nothing that we have the ability to control.
Yeah, Beth Sletty is superintendent of West Fargo Schools, and she has been someone who I've got to know, and I've developed a great amount of respect for Beth, and she has said that to me in some version a number of different times, that the number of things the kids are bringing with them to school, it's we've never seen it in these levels before. Kids are bringing things with them, the threats, the insecurities and whatever, and they're fed by those fears and insecurities are fed by so many things that act upon them. We're just getting started with Troy Cody, principal at Davies High School, and we're going to continue the conversation after this. First, though, a check of news and weather. When we come back, I want to ask about, we see schools now, at least I do, as much more diverse than the school that I grew up in, and I want to ask Troy a little bit about, is there a tension among some of those diversity factions in a school, maybe differently than maybe what we had growing up? So we'll talk a little bit about that part of the equation as we continue here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Hey, if you're looking for a weekend getaway this summer, I got an idea for you, and you probably haven't done it. Give Dumper Dan a call. Yes, Dumper Dan is the leader in charter fishing and the most popular name in the industry. You'll be fishing for world-class Lake Michigan trout and salmon aboard one of their fully rigged charter fishing vessels. I'm in. I don't know about you. Fishing and lodging packages include the best in riverfront condos and hotel accommodations. Check out DumperDan.com. Just like it sounds, DumperDan.com for reservation info. Make sure to follow Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters on Facebook. Dumper Dan's Charter Fishing Fleet, Wisconsin's proven charter fishing leader, DumperDan.com. Troy Cody's with me, a principal at Davies High School, and he'll be in that job for a little while longer, and then he's going into the private sector. Let me ask you about that, Troy, getting out of public education altogether. Why was this the right time to try to do something different?
Well, I've always preached to folks, just like reflection. I've always talked about, you know, challenging yourself to always become a little bit better version of yourself. And You know, I just had an awesome opportunity from a couple of guys in the investment world approach me and gave me an opportunity, and it was something that just the job is just so wearing on you, and I'm now a grandfather. And living bell to bell for 34 years. I don't know if you've done that, but,
I'm not. No.
You know, it's funny because like you and a couple of my buddies.
I have a show I got to do every
day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the point is like, hey, you want to come out for lunch and all these opportunities? And yeah, I can go out for lunch, but you know, I'm looking at my watch and, and I got to get back there for period six. And so
I get that.
Just all of these things added up. And to be honest with you, I really just wanted to challenge myself in a little different way, that certainly, is this presents this opportunity as well to provide a little bit more opportunity for family. Certainly public education is something that's going to always be near and dear to my heart. And to be honest with you, I've always been told like my skill set would work in this industry as you and I have talked a little bit about it. And I really want to double down on myself one time, you know, and I want to bet on myself. And, this opportunity, with Joe and Parker are going to be just an opportunity that I couldn't turn away from.
Yeah, you're going to kill it. I know that for sure. But I don't hear you talking like I'm running away from public education. I hate it. Schools are turning into cesspools. Get me out of there. That doesn't sound like you.
Well, I wouldn't say that publicly, but you know, I'm not leaving education. Like people say, I'm retiring. You know what? I am taking a skill set, like sitting down as a former math teacher. People build trust through investment. People want to learn about their investments. And I am just going to be transitioning that skill set to teach people a little bit differently, work with people, build trust, build relationships with people in that regard too. So it's not like I'm leaving education, right? It's just shifting. It's pivoting into another space where I can sit down with people and have conversation and teach them a little bit, about, you know, finances and teaching a little bit about investments, because at the end, that's really what it ultimately is.
You are a believer, and it's one of the things I respect so much about you, that you've been shining the light of Jesus into those places that you've been, that you've worked at. It's easy on the conservative side to feel like we hear these stories about public school and that it's run by people that don't believe in the Lord, and there's no religious faith in schools. You got to keep God out of everything, and it's just a godless wasteland there. How did you handle being a believer in public school, and is there more light there, more Christian light than maybe what it seems to some of us sometimes?
10,000% more there. Yeah, I would tell you this is that, again, along those lines of the narrative, it is something, and I'm not sitting here saying that some of those narratives aren't happening in public education, but I can guarantee you they are not happening in Fargo, North Dakota. As a believer, as you indicated, you know, I do pray each and every day and on my way to school. And, earlier in my career, I would, when kids use their lockers a little bit more, I would just take a cup of coffee and go for a 5 to 7 minute walk and pray in the hallways for the teachers and the kids, and still do that today. And so as a believer, looking for opportunities, I had shared earlier, there's about 1,300 students at Davies, add about 180 staff. So it's around 1,485 people in that building each and every day. It's the 35th largest city in the state of North Dakota when you look at it in that context. And so that gives you opportunity to again, have 1 minute you're talking to somebody who is at the pinnacle of their life, and then the next person in is dealing with cancer or a death or just a sickness or an illness. And just, I would always indicate to them that, you know, that I'm not shy about who I am and what I believe in as a praying man, as I would absolutely be praying for you. And many staff would take me up on that and just have the opportunity to pray with them right there and then. So, you know, God's going to give us opportunities, Steve, if we just keep our eyes open to his leading and his nudging in those particular spaces.
Yeah. My kids went to Davies High School.
And yeah, I know that. I got to know them really well.
Did,
yeah, Aaron's sitting in that chair all
frequent flyers. Yeah, but I got to also know through that, and then in the past few years, we've done this Presidential Scholars dinner, and Davies is no different. You can find amazing kids everywhere, but TC, the I don't even know how you find the right words to talk about how unbelievably gifted and how amazing these kids are. And I think we lose some of that when we hear 38% proficiency in math or whatever. But you've got kids that come out of Davies every year that are like going to be Ivy League, you know, valedictorians and CEOs and elected officials. And we can't forget about that either. There are brilliant kids, talented athletes, musicians mm-hmm. that could go to, you know, Juilliard School or whatever. Like mm-hmm. the kids that come out of our schools every year are amazing.
And anybody, part of my kind of, I'm going to call it retirement, part of my retirement teachers, they wrote a couple of books and there was 32 Troy Cotyisms. All right. And I'm just going to, I'm going to catch you. All right. You said, I think we lose the narrative, okay, I'm telling you, we do, all right? There's not, no ambiguity in there. There are unbelievable kids that come through those doors at North, at South, at Davies, and I would even put Dakota in that, right? And I'm just talking through Fargo Public Schools. 100%, Steve, and to your group, you and Scott, for what you're doing to bring accolades to these kids, I would tell you, anybody out there, and our public doors are open to people, get in there and see what's happening. The narrative needs to be changed because our public schools are not crumbling. There are so many different things happening inside there that we are proud of. And I'm not saying that there's not challenges, right? Each and every individual that knows what's going on in public education and for the private sector as well, too, is there's problems. There's no doubt about it. But leaning into that, that's where you get good, strong leaders to not shy away from problems, not shy away from controversial topics, leaning into that. But certainly, as you pointed out, there are some fantastic kids coming through our doors.
I wish we had a better way to keep track of those kids and where they end up and what they end up doing. Because I think some of them are like, you know, curing cancer and we just don't know about it because they move to wherever they go to school in New York and you don't hear about them, but you know that they're just changing the world day after day.
100%. It's 100%, a ton of fun. One of the nice things in the summer, we have reunions that come back, right? And so we're just now kind of getting through those 10-year reunions. In the last couple of summers, it's been fun to see some of our kids come back for their 10-year reunion and those presidents. A couple of kids down at Stanford starting up their own startup companies in that regard. A couple of folks out in MIT in the Harvard area, Boston, University of Boston, like neurology science.
Yeah, we can't even say it.
You got to be careful. You say, what are you going to be, a rocket scientist? And they go, yep. You know,
Levels above that, I'm going to do it. So there's way more diversity in Fargo Public Schools than there was in the school I grew up in central Minnesota. I didn't see a black kid, I think, until I went to college. And now my kids, when they were here, they grew up. And it's, oh, yeah, that's Abdi and that's Ramon and that's whatever. And it's no big deal to them. I do wonder, though, do you sense within your school, is there tension of diversity and different ethnic groups? And I don't know if these kids, these white kids, are liking me because of the skin color, and are they racist and I just don't know it? From the outside, it feels like maybe some of that goes on. What does it feel like inside the building?
It depends on who you ask that question of, right? And if you ask a certain faction of society, they're probably going to say yes, because that's going to be the narrative that they're trying to carry. I would tell you this, that in my 13 years, the statistics of the makeup of our student body has changed. Originally, I think we were around 78% Caucasian. And then as Fargo has changed over the last decade, our schools, right? It's a footprint. I would tell you that inside Davies High School, you will see a similar footprint to that in the Fargo community. You could walk in during lunch and you will see all walks of life sitting to each other. Now, there are cliques, as there always been.
Oh, and, of course.
You know, you got the jocks, you got the musicians.
Well,
obviously with the tax hike over in Minnesota, it's probably not going to be as good with that. But, you know, but certainly there's the diversity is there. But it is. It's another sliver of who are, and that's what we want of our kids. We want our kids to be able to work together. And we go into businesses and we're going to need to be able to work through differences and conflict. I would tell you, like, even in your own business here, you want people to be able to work with folks from different walks of life. I would tell you that's one of the things that I feel super blessed about being raised on an Indian reservation, is that God has blessed me with the ability to work with all walks of life. They've been teasing me a little bit here this week because they say I'm multilingual, so I can talk to a Nepali like I can talk to an African American or a Hispanic, a Latino, whatever. But it's kind of a joke in that regard. But it is. I would say there could be some, but I don't see it happening like on a daily basis, and the tensions are so high in that regard, none whatsoever.
What do we do with the graduation ceremonies? We've heard it now that it's been disruptive. Some families just want to celebrate their kid, and I don't think most people are going around saying, how can I ruin that next kid's graduation ceremony? But whatever, it's a cultural thing, it's just they love their kid or whatever, but it can be disruptive, and we're kind of used to, growing up in this part of the world, you're respectful and you cheer for 10 seconds and you shut up because the next kid comes. Not everybody's wired that way, and it's causing some problems at graduations. What should we do going forward on this?
Well, I would say that inside of that, there is what we call is an implicit bias. That means because of our upbringing, we think that things have to be done a certain way, right? And so we're trying to fit everything into our old traditional ways, right? And so just even on Sunday, I've just made a quick announcement because they are so proud, Steve. They are so proud, just like how proud of you were at Natalie's wedding, right? And so in that regard, that joy for you is more internal, where for some of our culturally diverse families, it's external. It's like, I tell you what, you tell me when the Vikings win the Super Bowl that people are just going to clap and cheer for 10 seconds. It's not going to be that way. So you got to look at it through that lens in that regard. And so you know what? They cheered a little extra long. I just held up my hand to our name reader, and they eventually stopped in that regard. It didn't get quite as wild as it did over in West Fargo in that regard. We had a little opportunity to prepare for that. But it's just cultural sensitivity, right? You need to understand that that's just how things are going to roll in that perspective. And I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that it got disrespectful in any of the Fargo's. But it's just that ability to understand that they are just so super proud of their kiddos.
Yeah. Kind of going back to the conversation about principals within schools and whatever, I do want to ask you about the decision that was made. Well, let me start with this. We're talking about diversity within the schools. How many transgender students do we have at a Davies High School? How many kids have said, you know what, this is me now? Are we talking about, is there 100?
No, you can count them on one hand. You can count them on one hand. Again, the narrative out there that it's all over the, you know, not a chance in the world. I would say in that space, it's not nearly as widespread as people believe it to be or the narrative to be. So in that regard, I would say you can count them on one hand.
How has the school handled those situations with the bathrooms and so forth? And I do have the Rupa Gandhi question coming up in a minute, but just what has that done for you and the school in dealing with them and helping them through whatever they're dealing with?
Well, it's complex. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I told you over the last, 13 years, things have changed. Our society has changed. That has now found its way inside of schools. We are a public school setting. Let's not forget that. So we are governed by a school board, and our school board sets policy. And as an administrator, I'm given the task and hired to follow through and carry out that policy, regardless of what my personal views are, which might be aligning or aligning to what that policy is. I'm hired to administer the policy. And so that's, I wouldn't say, is it hard? It's difficult. There's no doubt about it with some of the things that I believe personally that may or may not align with it, but I'm hired to do a job. And anybody that knows me, I do that to the very best of my ability. And I'm going to create that space that our board has asked for all students to walk our halls, or in this case, the bathroom issue. We found solutions. We found gender neutral bathrooms in that regard. Our schools weren't built for that, so we had to be creative in that regard. So
what was it like when the legislature comes out and says, you got to bring parents, you got to know about this, and there's certain, pronouns and whatever else? Your boss, the superintendent, Dr. Gandhi, said, we're not going to abide by that. We're going to kind of go by some other things. And you had to have known right away that was going to create a firestorm. What was the reaction like within your building when all that was going down?
Well, first I said, woof. It's like, okay, here we go. This is going to be a little bit of a challenge. But again, at the end of the day, my job as a building principal was to administer, whether I agreed with it or not, I had to administer what our school board, who hires Dr. Gandhi, and he is my direct boss. I had to follow through, and again, back to my earlier point, I just prayed for guidance, and those, as those situations arose, deal with them as it related to in that regard. Was it difficult? Yeah, I mean, because you know, you never want to look at your boss and say like, I wouldn't do it that way. But at the end of the day, that's his call. He felt very strongly about that. Our board supported him in that regard. And so, you know, anybody that knows my character, I'm about as loyal as they come to a fault at times, you know. And so we just, you know, we take a big drink of water. We pull up our bootstraps and we go to work to try to work to our best of our ability.
What do schools need? What do our kids need? I want to finish our conversation with Troy Cody, Principal Davies High School, talking a little bit about that. We'll do that as we continue here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. A few more minutes with Troy Cody, Principal Davies High School. Troy, I have to admit to you that I see numbers at 38% proficient in math, 41% in reading or whatever. I go, what are we doing in our schools? What do we need to know about those numbers? Are they a little misleading, or am I justified having concerns here?
Well, I would ask you, would you consider yourself a pretty successful guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a loser.
Yeah. You know, I think Dr. Steiner said this really well a couple weeks ago when you interviewed him. It's like, remember that these tests.
I like him a lot, by the way.
Yeah, here's a scoop. He's going to be fantastic. Okay. Those scores are a snapshot in time. A snapshot in time. And I would also say this is like, I'm not discrediting like the importance of proficiency scores, but it is not about proficiency scores, at least the way I lead. It's about people's skills. It's about teaching folks how to deal with
others.
But they
still need to know how to do the stuff, right?
Okay, based on what, though? I mean, based on an ambiguous test that is certainly I couldn't tell you that those scores haven't changed a whole long. And scores start to increase, then you know what they do? They say, it's too easy of a test. Let's make some changes in that regard. So it's an ever-moving target. I could talk to you for hours about that. But it is about teaching kids. It's about teaching people to be able to work. It's the soft skills, right? It is about communication. It's about working together collaboratively. Mm. You know, it is all about the C's that we talk about from that perspective. So, yeah, being creative, right? You think about your business. Does it matter to you that one kid right out there doesn't know what a split infinitive is, or where the third, you know, past participle, or you know who the 14th?
Anything you can, in there we didn't know.
Yeah, you can Google anything nowadays in that regard too. So I guess for me, I guess that's just my opinion on that, and it might be in the minority. But I would tell you this: that I would tell you any business guy out there, Steve, could really care less about people's test scores. It's about being able to work with people. So there's that 2 cents and a cup of coffee.
They tell me we got to finish the show right around this time of day, but thanks for doing this, man. Thanks for loving our kids, serving our kids the way you have for so many years, and we wish you all the best.
It has been a joy and a pleasure, absolutely, Steve. I look forward to chatting with you again after we get out there.
Have a great night, friends. Keep on flying that flag.